Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Hi friends. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. Bodhisattvas emerging from the earth. What are we, alfalfa sprouts? Life is silly. Kind of laugh sometimes. Yes, even these days, especially these days, keep your sense of humor. Yeah? Sometimes the most incredible things can happen if we just lighten up a bit. Chapter 15. Bodhisattvas emerging from the earth. What the heck does that mean? Well, you've heard me talk about it before. If you're new here, welcome. Thank you. Take a few seconds just to like and subscribe. Not because you're committing to liking or somehow going to be roped into something by subscribing. They're really just check marks that help us to propagate this channel, this resource, the website, all of it. To help our practice, gain our confidence, gain our resolve, remove doubt. It's just a resource. It's an important resource. If you're practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism, certainly, yeah? So, thank you for doing that. That's very supportive. Bodhisattvas of the Earth is a... Is that a metaphor or a simile? It's a metaphor. To come from beneath the earth is to come from the earth. And as you know, this Lotus Sutra gets its namesake from the flower, the lotus flower, because of its particular behavior. But it too is something that comes from the earth, as they say, a muddy swamp. In other words, a not altogether pure place, but a place with all of the elements necessary for us to emerge as sentient beings. Yeah. And the moment we clarify that sentient being by opening our Buddha eye, the Gohonzon mind, we transmigrate or transcend this muddy bog and flowering. As we flower, we also spread the knowledge, the wisdom, the aura, the influence of enlightenment. We plant the seed at that moment of blossoming. It all happens in a moment, right? Cause-effect moment. Moment to moment, moment to moment, moment to moment. So these bodhisattvas emerging from the earth or from beneath the earth or however it's translated indicates you and I. Those bodhisattvas to come in the era of the threat of losing the pure, clear Shakyamuni teachings of the lotus. The instantaneous invocation of self-realization, self-enlightenment, self-manifesting Buddha nature. At that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattvas who had arrived from other lands and whose number exceeded that of the sands of the 8 Ganges rivers, didn't know there were 8, did you? Stood up at the great assembly, bowed with their palms pressed together, and then spoke to the Buddha saying, O Bhagavat, if you give us permission to diligently strive to preserve, recite, copy, and pay homage to this Lotus Sutra. After the Parinirvana of the Buddha in this Saha world, then we will extensively teach it in this land. So you might ask, why they're asking permission? If you're so dedicated, Why don't you just promise to do it? In fact, that you're on that path to do it right now. Why are you asking permission? Right? That's like asking your own mind, do you mind? Would you please? Could you maybe enlighten? Would you mind? What is that? Just do it. Nevertheless, that's the form. Then the Buddha addressed the assembly of Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, saying, "Enough, O sons of virtuous family. There is no need for you to preserve this sutra." Whoa, what? Why is this? Well, in my Saha world, there are Bodhisattva Mahasattvas equal to the sands of the 60,000 Ganges River in number. And each of these bodhisattvas, in turn, has a retinue equal to the sands of 60,000 Ganges rivers. After my Parinirvana, they can preserve, recite, and extensively teach this sutra. Ouch. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? But what he's saying is, as long as I'm in the world, my influences reach all over the world. And so there's enough bodhisattvas pursuing the bodhisattva path right now that it's sure to last for quite some time. But, you know, by all means. There's no need for you to preserve this. It's a bit of a, shouldn't you just want to do it, like I was pointing out earlier? Why do you feel so imposed upon and need permission to be able to dedicate yourself? Boy, you obviously don't understand. That should just happen. That should be the goal from the first. So, yeah, don't worry about it, right? When the Buddha said this, all the lands of the great manifold cosmos, the cosmos, in the Saha world, quaked and the earth split. What does that mean? All of the manifold cosmos, the entire universe, in the Saha world, in other words, in its physical state, material state, quaked and the earth split. From out of this crevice, there simultaneously appeared incalculable thousands of myriads of codas of bodhisattva mahasattvas. Where the hell did these guys come from? Well, yes, from beneath the earth, but all of these bodhisattvas had golden bodies endowed with the 32 marks and radiating immeasurable rays of light. Ooh. They were powerful influence makers. They had all previously been living in the space under the earth of the Saha world. Having heard the sound of Shakyamuni's teaching, all of these bodhisattvas emerged from below. Now, disabuse yourself of thoughts of hell and all that. That's not what this means. These are seeds of the future arising out of the ground, just like any bud would crack through the surface of the soil to present itself. This isn't a metaphor for future bodhisattvas, right? Each of those bodhisattvas presided over a great number, and each led a retinue equal to the sands of 60,000 Ganges rivers in number. How much more numerous were the bodhisattvas who emerged leading retinues equal in number to the sands of 50,000, 40,000, 30,000, 20,000, or 10,000 Ganges rivers? How much more numerous were the bodhisattvas who emerged leading retinues equal to the sands of one Ganges river, half a Ganges river, a quarter of a Ganges river, or even just 1,000th of a myriad of kotas of Nayuta of the sands of the Ganges river? How many more retinues were there numbering thousands of myriads of cotas of nayutas? How many more retinues were there numbering myriads of cotas? How many more were those numbering 10 million, 1 million, or even 10,000? How many more were those numbering 1,100 or even 10? How much more numerous were Bodhisattva's leading disciples numbering 5, 4, 3, 2, or even 1? And how many more Bodhisattvas were there who had eagerly practiced alone and far from the worldly life? The number of such Bodhisattvas as these is incalculable and limitless, beyond all calculation and metaphor. Having emerged from the earth, each of these bodhisattvas approached the Tathagatas Prabhutaratna and Shakyamuni, still seated in the beautiful seven-jeweled stupa in the air. Going up to them, they bowed until their foreheads touched the feet of both Bhagavats. Then, having bowed to the other Buddhas, each sitting on a lion seat under the jeweled trees, they circumambulated them to the right three times, honoring them with their palms pressed together. Having praised them with various bodhisattva eulogies, they withdrew to one side and joyfully gazed at the two Bhagavats. All these bodhisattva mahasattvas, having emerged from the earth, praised the Buddhas with various bodhisattva eulogies. While they did, 50 intermediate kalpas passed. No kidding. I was about to say, with all these innumerable numbers of bodhisattva, this procession must have taken millennia. Yeah. Don't worry, he will address that point really soon. During this time, the Buddha Shakyamuni sat in silence. And the fourfold assemblies were also silent while the 50 intermediate kalpas passed. Unknowable amount of time. Because of the Buddha's transcendent powers, the great assemblies believed that the time that had passed was only half a day. Then, through the transcendent powers of the Buddha, the fourfold assemblies also saw the bodhisattvas filling the air throughout the immeasurable hundreds of thousands of myriads of kotas of lands. Everybody was floating. And it was so spectacular that the millennia that it took for them to do all of this seemed like about half a day. You see about time in Buddhism? Capturing experience? More important than measurement. That's an important clue in all of these studies. There were four leaders among those bodhisattvas gathered there. They're on that scroll, and Nichiren identifies as one of them. They were called Visistakaritra, Anattakaritra, Visuddhakaritra, and Supratisthakaritra. Of course, we know them by other names, right? Superior practices, superior conduct, so on. These four bodhisattvas were the foremost leaders in the assembly. At the head of the great assembly, they each pressed their palms together, gazed at Shakyamuni Buddha, and inquired of him, saying, O Bhagavat, are you without illness or pain? Are you at ease in practice or not? Do those who should be saved or liberated accept your teachings easily or not? Do they not make you weary, O Bhagavat? Thereupon the four great bodhisattvas spoke these verses. O Bhagavat, are you at ease? Are you without illness or pain? Are you fatigued with leading and inspiring sentient beings? Do the sentient beings accept your guidance easily or not? Do they not tire the Bhagavat? At that time, the Bhagavat spoke to the great assembly of bodhisattvas, saying, quote, it is exactly like this, O sons of virtuous family. It is exactly so. The Tathagata is at ease, and without illness or pain, it is easy to save sentient beings, and I am not fatigued. Why is this? Because sentient beings have continually received my guidance throughout many lives, and they have also planted roots of good merit by revering and honoring the Buddhas of the past. When these sentient beings first saw me and heard my teaching, all except for those who had previously practiced and studied the inferior vehicle, immediately believed and accepted it and entered the Tathagata's wisdom. Now I enable even such people as these to listen to this sutra and enter the Buddha's wisdom. Then the great Bodhisattva spoke these verses. Splendid, splendid. O Bhagavat, great hero, all the sentient beings can easily be brought to the path. They can ask about the profound wisdom of the Buddhas. Hearing about it, they trust and accept it. We rejoice about this. At that time, the Bhagavat praised the foremost of the great Bodhisattvas, saying, splendid, splendid, O sons of virtuous family. Thoughts of joy regarding the Tathagata have awakened in you. And yes, I hear some of you asking, when is he going to explain virtuous families? Well, I just did a little essay on that in Volume 2, upcoming Volume 2 of Buddhism Reference. So, coming soon, yes. And I think I have a PDF copy I can read from. But let's finish this first. Then Bodhisattva Maitreya and the assembly of Bodhisattvas equal in number to the sands of 8,000 Ganges rivers thought this. Looking far to the past, we've never seen or heard of such an assembly of great Bodhisattva Mahasattvas who have now emerged from the earth and are standing before the Bhagavat with their palms pressed together in reverence, asking the Tathagata questions. You see, that's the first idea of the current Bodhisattvas, who are all by this time a little put off because they've been told there's no need for them to get permission to pursue. Yeah, don't worry, I've got it handled, Shakyamuni says. And they're like, well, crap, we were all ready to be your favorites. Who are these? Who are these jokers? Where'd they come from? Thinking only in terms of the past. Remember, time is an important factor. Then Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya, knowing the minds of the Bodhisattvas whose number was equal to the sands of the Ganges of 8,000 Ganges rivers, and wanting to clear up their confusion, faced the Buddha with the palms of his hands pressed together and addressed him in verse, saying, we have never seen such a great assembly of incalculable thousands of myriads of kotas of Bodhisattvas before. We entreat you, O best of humans, to explain it to us. Where have they come from? For what reason have they gathered here? They look magnificent, and they have great transcendent powers. Their wisdom is beyond our comprehension. They are firm in their resolve, have the power of great perseverance, and an appearance that sentient beings desire to see. Where have they come from? Each of these bodhisattvas is leading a retinue whose number is incalculable, like the sands of the Ganges River. Some great bodhisattvas are leading retinues equal in number to the sands of 60,000 Ganges rivers. Great are the assemblies, single-mindedly seeking the Buddha path. Clue! These great leaders, equal in number to the sands of 60,000 Ganges rivers, have come together, all of them, to pay homage to the Buddha and preserve this sutra. The number of bodhisattvas leading retinues equal in number to the sands of 50,000 Ganges rivers is even greater. And the number of bodhisattvas who lead retinues equal in number to the sands of 40,000 Ganges 30,000, 20,000, 10,000, 1,000, 100, one half, one third, one fourth, one myriadth of a kotai of the sands of the Ganges River exceeds even these. Lots and lots of students. There are disciples whose number, thousands of myriads of nayutas, myriads of kotas, or even half a kotai. Their numbers also exceed that mentioned above. There are also disciples in retinues of 1 million, 10,000, 1,150, 10, even 3, 2, or 1 in number. There are also great bodhisattvas who have come without retinues, desiring to be in solitude. It's interesting that he goes from largest to smallest, isn't it? But this is also to drive home the point that although our goal is reaching the entire world with our practice, that it begins with a single effort. From the self-realization to the influence of that self-realization onto others and others and others, right? There are also great bodhisattvas who have come without retinues. The number of those who have come before the Buddha is far beyond any calculation. If anyone counted the number of such great assembly with bamboo counting sticks, he would not finish, even after exhausting kalpas greater in number than the sands of the Ganges River. Man, that Ganges River. Who has taught the Dharma to this assembly of bodhisattvas? What are you getting at here? Endowed with great dignity and perseverance, who has inspired and perfected them? Do you see what's happening here? This samsaric drug, this adherence to the Buddha is Shakyamuni, rather than the Buddha is a nature inherent in all phenomena, only to be experienced by sentient minds. Still, it persists, this samsaric drug, that Buddha, Shakyamuni, is Buddha. He's attained it, but he is not it. It is everywhere in everything in the cosmos. And we, with sentient minds, are the ones to experience it, witness it, with all of its affects. But he continues, under whom did the thought of enlightenment first awaken in them? Who taught them? I mean, you're not that old, right? You're right here. They've come from ages and ages in the past, haven't they? Who taught them? Which Buddha Dharma do they praise? Whose teaching do they follow? Wait a minute, now you're really getting whacked. The Dharma is the Dharma, and the Dharma doesn't exist. The Dharma is the experience of Buddha-ness. Now you want to know how many Dharmas there are? You're going backwards. Whose sutra have they preserved and practiced? And which Buddha path have they followed? Such bodhisattvas as these, endowed with transcendent powers and the power of great wisdom, have all emerged out of the earth, which quaked in the four directions and split asunder. O Bhagavat, we have never seen such a thing before. We entreat you to tell us the name of the land from which they have come. From where they have come. We have been constantly traveling in various regions. Nevertheless, we've never seen such a thing before. We do not know even a single person in this assembly. Wow. Incalculable numbers. And you seen each one of them? All of a sudden, they have emerged from the earth. We entreat you to explain the reason why. All of the immeasurable hundreds of thousands of kotas of bodhisattvas in this great assembly now wish to know about this matter. There must be underlying causes for this. To explain all of these bodhisattvas, O Bhagavat, he of immeasurable qualities, we entreat you to clear up. the confusion of the assembly. Thereupon, the Buddhas, who were the mentally created forms of Shakyamuni Buddha, arrived from other incalculable thousands of myriads of kodas of lands and sat cross-legged on the lion seats under the jeweled trees in the eight directions. Each attendant of these Buddhas had seen the great assembly of bodhisattvas as they emerged from out of the earth and floated in midair in the four directions of the great manifold cosmos. Imagine you're there in that assembly, and your vision, your sight line can grasp the entire cosmos. It's obviously, it's hyperbole, it's storytelling, it's metaphorical, yeah? What a sight. Each attendant of these Buddhas had seen the great assembly of bodhisattvas as they emerged from out of the earth and floated in midair in the four directions in the great manifold cosmos. Each of them addressed the Buddha, saying, O Bhagavat, where has this great assembly of immeasurable, limitless, incalculable bodhisattvas come from? Then the Buddhas answered their attendants, saying, O sons of a virtuous family, wait a moment. There is a bodhisattva mahasattva called Maitreya who has received a prediction from the Buddha Shakyamuni that he will become a Buddha after Shakyamuni in the future. Since he has already asked about this, the Buddha will now answer him. You shall be able to hear the reason yourselves. Then the Buddha Shakyamuni addressed bodhisattva Maitreya saying, Splendid, splendid, O Ajita! You have asked the Buddha an important question. You should all single-mindedly don the armor of perseverance and be of firm will. Resolve, yeah? The Tathagata now wants to reveal the wisdom of the Buddhas, the inherent transcendent powers of the Buddhas, the lion-like dignified power of the Buddhas, the majestic and mighty power of the Buddhas. Thereupon the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this further, spoke these verses. You should be persistent and wholeheartedly attentive for what I want to explain to you. Do not have any doubts, for the wisdom of the Buddha is difficult to comprehend. You should now awaken the power of strong resolve. And with perseverance, abide in the good, the life affirming, the goal of awakening, affirming, yeah? Now you will be able to hear what you have never heard before. I will now put you at ease. Have no doubts or fear. The Buddha never speaks false words. His wisdom is immeasurable. The foremost Dharma that he has attained is profound and difficult to explain. I will now expound this difficult teaching, so you should listen wholeheartedly. Then the Bhagavat, after speaking these verses, addressed Bodhisattva Maitreya, saying, I will now proclaim it to all of you in the assembly. O Ajita, all of you have never seen these immeasurable, innumerable, incalculable, great bodhisattva mahasattvas who have emerged from out of the earth. Having attained highest complete enlightenment in this Saha world, I led, inspired, and instructed these bodhisattvas, restrained their thoughts, and caused the thought of the path to awaken them. When these bodhisattvas lived in a space under the earth of the Saha world, they recited various sutras, became well-versed in them, and contemplated, analyzed, and correctly remembered them. Remember, it's an oral teaching. O Ajita, all these sons of a virtuous family did not wish to be among the multitude where there is always much discussion. They always wanted to be in quiet places. They diligently strove without resting or relying upon devas or humans. They always desired the profound wisdom without obstructions. They always wanted the Dharma of the Buddhas. They strove wholeheartedly in seeking the highest wisdom. At that time, the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this, further spoke in these verses. O Ajita, you should know that all of these bodhisattvas have practiced the wisdom of the Buddha for innumerable kalpas. They have all been inspired by me, Buddha. Not Shakyamuni, but he's wearing the Buddha hat, right? And the thought of the great path has awakened in them. They are my heirs. Ah, they are my heirs. H-E-I-R-S. Future. They are my heirs. Abiding in this world, they always cultivated ascetic practices, wishing to be in quiet places, rejecting the clamor of the multitude. They did not have to have much discussion. All my heirs, such as these, constantly practice my teaching with vigor day and night. Think of your practice, morning and evening, Gongyo, yeah? In order to seek the Buddha path, they lived in the space under the earth of the Saha world, waiting to be born, right? They were firm in recollection, and they always diligently sought wisdom, explaining various subtle teachings. Their minds were free from fear. Sitting under the Bodhi tree in the city of Gaya, I attained highest complete enlightenment and turned the wheel of the highest Dharma. I then led and inspired them so that the thought of the path awakened in them for the first time. Now here's that time travel business. Maitreya asks him where they come from the past, he's assuming. Shakyamuni says he's the one who taught them all along. And just now he said, I've taught them since I reached enlightenment seated beneath the Bodhi tree in this lifetime. Whoop, 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 whoop. We're just flying all over the place, right? Time-wise. So these guys have been under the ground while we've been learning, but somehow they've learned differently because they are potential. They're not yet born. That potential has been planted by Shakyamuni's teaching, not in the extant sentient beings in his time, but future sentient beings that will come of this teaching, born of this seeding, sowing, right? Mapo now is the time of cultivation. This was the time of sowing. This is why these bodhisattvas, though they are seeing them in this current assembly, are a future vision. Do you see? Did I say Goya? I meant Gaya. I attained highest complete enlightenment and turned the wheel of the highest Dharma, and then I led and inspired them so that they would, for the first time. All of them are now at the stage of non-retrogression and will certainly become Buddhas with no residue. Remember the two nirvanas? I now teach the truth. You should wholeheartedly believe that from long, long ago, I have been leading and inspiring all of these bodhisattvas for the future. Then Bodhisattva Mahasattva Maitreya and the innumerable other bodhisattvas became doubtful and confused. They don't get the time thing. Concerning this unprecedented experience, they thought this. How is it possible in such a short time for the Bhagavat to have inspired such an immeasurable, limitless, incalculable number of great bodhisattvas, enabling them to abide in highest complete enlightenment? Right? We've seen you your whole life. We know how long you've been here. When have you had time? immediately then addressed the Buddha, saying, O Bhagavat, when the Tathagata was a prince, he left the palace of the Shakyas, sat on the terrace of enlightenment, which is not far from the city of Gaya, and attained highest complete enlightenment. Since then, more than 40 years have passed. How is it possible, O Bhagavat, for you to have done such great Buddha acts in such a short period of time? Is it through the might of the Buddha and through the Buddha's qualities that you've inspired such an assembly of incalculable great bodhisattvas to achieve highest complete enlightenment? Oh, Bhagavat, even if someone counted the number of great bodhisattvas for thousands of myriads of kotas, kalpas, they would not be able to finish. There would be no end. From long ago, these bodhisattvas have been planting roots of good merit in the presence of immeasurable, limitless Buddhas. They have perfected the bodhisattva path and have always practiced the pure path of discipline and integrity. It is, O Bhagavat, difficult to believe such things in this world. Suppose a handsome man with dark hair, 25 years of age, were to point to a 100-year-old man and say, he is my son. And the 100-year-old man points to the young fellow and says, he is my father, and he raised me. This would be difficult to believe. And what the Buddha has now taught is exactly like this. It has not, in fact, been so long since the Buddha attained the path. Yet, for the sake of the Buddha path, this great assembly of bodhisattvas has been diligently striving for innumerable thousands of myriads of kotas of kalpas. They have skillfully entered, abided in, and emerged from immeasurable thousands of myriads of kotas of samadhis. Samadhis, right? Meditations. They have attained great transcendent powers and practiced the pure path of discipline and integrity for a long time. They have gradually and ably practiced wholesome teachings and are skilled at discussions. They are jewels among humans and a great rarity in the entire world. Today the Bhagavat has correctly said that after he attained the path of the Buddha, he caused the thought of enlightenment to awaken in the bodhisattvas for the first time. He then led, inspired, and instructed them to approach highest complete enlightenment. O Bhagavat, although it has not been so long since you attained Buddhahood, yet you have really done these great meritorious acts? We believe the Buddha's words, but spoken according to our capacities, and that what he says is never false. We are all well versed in the Buddha's knowledge. However, if the bodhisattvas in whom the thought of enlightenment has recently awakened, recently awakened hear this after the Buddha's parinirvana, they will not accept it. And this will bring about conditions for erring deeds that destroy the Dharma. Ooh, he's really worried now. That is why, O Bhagavat, we entreat you to explain it to us and remove our doubts. Moreover, in the future, when the sons of virtuous family hear this, they will also be free from doubt. Thereupon, Bodhisattva Maitreya, wanting to elaborate upon the meaning of this further, spoke these verses. And that's where we're going to pause for today. Do, do, do. The tension mounts. How is Shakyamuni going to explain his way through this conundrum? So we'll continue next time. It's an interesting chapter. Lots of time travel going on here, but it's all a mental exercise, right? To understand the nature of resolve, commitment. To understand that we should practice as though we have the entire history of the cosmos built into our cellular existence, which we do. I've told you this before. Every little atom, molecule, energy form that is the organs, the skin, the senses, the brain, the mind of you is the same stuff from the moment the cosmos began. It's not same because this equals this. It's this this. It's the same stuff. That understanding that is mind-blowing enough. But if you begin to understand that, then you understand why every moment you chant, every moment, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, how many moments is that? Incalculable, right? Go look up moment in Buddhism reference. Right, it's something like 0.4305 something, blah, 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 of a second. How many of those moments are in a second? Every one of those moments has an experience of cells coming about, DNA speaking to stem cells to program them toward their little freight train of karma. Oh, you're going to be a liver cell. You're going to be a heart cell. You're going to be a... And how does it know to do that? Because the heart is shedding away cells. The lungs are shedding away cells. And the great DNA computer is saying, well, we need more cells up there and we need some over there. U10 go here and U10. Constantly regenerating. The cells of our bodies, our brain, keeping our mind active, what we call alive, through this intensely magnificent apparatus. And it doesn't stop at your feet. It goes into the ground, it goes into the solar system, into the galaxy, so on and so on and so on. Yeah, Horton hears a who. Incredible storytelling. But again, you need to be focused on what it means. Don't get lost in the details. Because then it becomes kind of nonsense. But if you can see through the hyperbole and the storytelling, there's a brilliant, brilliant thread of truth in all of this. I know you can see that. Don't get confused. And help others not be confused. Yeah. Excuse me. All right. That's all the blah, blah, blah I can muster today. Sorry. So grateful. If you stayed to the end, especially, thank you. Don't forget, you can download these as podcasts for free. Of course, these videos are free. You can search the compendium of videos on this channel, as you can on the podcasts. Don't forget the website. Lots of free info there. And if you can do more than like and subscribe, which is essential, buy an ebook. Buy the Buddhism reference, if nothing else, just to help you navigate these terms, right? Volume 2 on the way, as I said before. I'm going to grab a lot more of these weird little terms that we sling by, but that are meaningful. So volume 2 will be a little bit more, I don't know if you'd call it esoteric, but it'll hit more of the fringe concepts that support everything else we talk about. So that'll be good. And in the meantime, keep your practice strong. Savor it. It's precious. Right? And in order to do that, be kind to yourself. Take care of your health. And those around you, all your supports are part of your practice. So always feel gratitude for all of those opportunities that keep you in your practice, in your Buddha-ness. Yeah. All right, I'll leave you with that. I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now. Ooh.